Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Hello, Australia. Welcome to Thrift Therapy.
Hi, it's nice to meet you, LaVie.
I'm glad to have you on. I think I stumbled across you on Instagram, and I saw your art pieces, and I was really interested in getting to know your art process. So I think I messaged you on Instagram. Is that how this all happened?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good, good. So I've been hyping, talking to you on my social media. As an artist myself, I think what drew me into your pieces was sort of how folksy and crafty and thrifty they look. They look like really cool, I think, like Day of the Dead. I'm sorry if that's not a good reference, but that's sort of what they look like to me. Dolls and statues and sculptures. Maybe you can do a better job of explaining your art pieces.
My art pieces are based on thrifting, as a matter of fact. That's why they look so different and folksy, I think, because I use a different array of items that I do find at Goodwills. I do enjoy going to Goodwills, all kinds of different thrift shops, flea markets, garage sales.
Those are my favorite places in the world.
Me too. My art is based on Dia de los Muertos. So in a sense, these upcycled items are given a new life, in a sense. A resurrection of sorts.
That's neat. So it's like they are reincarnated.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's like a double meaning, I suppose. I hadn't really thought about it that way. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism there.
Well, how long have you been making art?
I've been artistic my whole life. I come from a very artistic family. But it's only been within the last year that I started showing and selling my pieces.
What gave you the courage to do that?
It was accidental, really. I had seen a piece that I really liked, which was a Dia de los Muertos doll. And I thought, I want one of those dolls. But the doll itself was $200. And I thought, well, I can make that. And I did. And I posted it. And it just took off from there.
I love that. That's kind of the soul of a thrifter, I think, is like, I can find that. I can make that. I can do that way, way cheaper.
You're right.
Yeah. What else inspires you? I mean, clearly other art inspires you. What else?
Well, my biggest influence and inspiration comes from my brother, Omar Rodriguez. He was an amazing artist. He also did a lot of the Dia de los Muertos art.
Really? So it's kind of like a family, I don't know, trait maybe, to be an artist and to use cultural influences to express yourself.
That's true. I have another sister who also does a lot of the Dia de los Muertos art. Her name is Esther McWilliams in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, really? Okay, so it really is a family affair. What about your parents? Are they artistic?
My mother was an artist, as a matter of fact. She would do a lot of sketching.
Ah, so she was like a little more maybe private or restrained with her art. How would you describe that?
She was, yes, she was.
So when you think about thrifting and art, like do those go together always for you? Do you thrift like maybe for clothes or household items? How far does your thrifting go?
It is about the household items and also about the thrifting, but I mean, not just the thrifting, the art. I thrift mostly for my art, but I do happen to find things like clothes and household items, dishes. I draw the line at underclothes and pillows. Those gross me out.
That's an interesting point. That's at some point on an episode, I should explore, like, where's your line on thrifted items? I think mine has moved through the years, like it just depending on what my current anxieties are.
If I could throw it in the washing machine or in a plastic bag for a couple of weeks, I guess it's okay. But something about pillows just is really gross.
Now I feel you on that. I think I can thrift like throw pillows, because I don't know, I'm not sleeping on them. Like it doesn't gross me out as much, but also because I know how to sanitize those. But like
Right.
sleeping pillows, yeah, I'm with you there. Too much sweat and stuff. I don't know. No.
I
So
pictured skin cells.
ew, now I'm gonna picture that too. Okay, I have a new anxiety, you guys. Skin cells.
You're welcome.
Yes. Well, that's the fun part of sharing our anxieties. We can spread them around. Do you have like a favorite maybe art piece or item that you've thrifted?
I have a three, well, I had a 3 foot Barbie that I did, and on the bottom of her foot, written in Sharpie, was the word fern. So I named her Fern, and half of her face was melted. So I had to sculpt her a face. So I sculpted a skull, and I couldn't have her named Fern because, well, that wouldn't fit in with the theme. So I named her Fern, Fernanda Linda.
I love
She
it.
have a Mexican name, so it would go with the theme because I didn't want it to sound like such a white name. But I call her Fern in my head all the time, and sometimes I miss her. I regret getting rid of her, but because she was my favorite all-time piece.
Yeah, that's a hard thing as an artist. I think we sort of get attached to the process and the pieces that come from that process. And they're kind of like our little children, and they can be really hard to let go of. But at least that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I agree. And then my second favorite would be a birdhouse that I made. And I love it because it has this rustic old Mexico yet American feel to it.
That sounds really cool. I'm definitely going to need pictures of those to put up on the website. So the podcast also has a website. It's where I store everything related to the podcast. So people who find it along the way can go back and listen to old episodes. And then they can also look through the photos and find pictures of the people and the things that we talk about. So I definitely love a picture of your Barbie, Fernando Lena. So she's multicultural, I think, even in your head, right? Like she crossed over in multiple ways.
She really is. But the and same with the birdhouse, I feel it's a multicultural thing. You know, it I love the old feel that it has to it, but yet it has American pennies on it, so it's not all Mexican. It's like me, I'm Mexican American.
I think that's an interesting thing about thrifting, and I've been thrifting for a really long time, maybe about a little over 30 years. And the cultural dialogue has changed a lot during that time. And I think one of the things that I'm trying to understand right now in my thrift process, and maybe even my art process, I don't paint as much as I used to, but is how to be sensitive to cultural narratives as a white person. Maybe that's not something I thought about when I was younger. I would just like things and be like, oh, this is really cool. I want to have it and add it to my collection. But I find myself now being like more thoughtful about it and being like, this is a really culturally themed piece, and maybe I should leave this here for someone whose culture it's related to, and not maybe try to take it and make it my own. I don't know. I've had some new boundaries about that, and it makes me wonder what you think about thrifting items from different cultures, how to do that respectfully, or maybe you could give us some advice as thrifters.
I think that it would be okay for you to thrift those items as long as you appreciate it and respect it. I know I do. I have several pieces that are maybe Russian or Polish and Asian. My husband's Asian, so I do appreciate the Asian culture.
Me too. My husband is Asian American. He's Korean. What is your husband's ethnicity?
His mother's from Thailand, so he's Thai American.
That's neat. I mean, that's one of the things that I do like about modernity is that there is all this multiculturalism. I really like that, but it's teaching me that as a white person, I have some kind of I need to be more careful, maybe. I don't know. But I like that you said that it's okay to thrift the items, but to do it in some way that's respectful Do you have any advice on how to do something respectfully, like maybe particularly for Mexican culture? How could a white person like myself who's shopping at a thrift store thrift a Mexican item respectfully? What would that be like?
I don't know. I think that just like what you would do your own.
That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about it. I think maybe because of the current political landscape, I'm making it too complicated in my head. Is that possible? Like, I just don't want to be seen as a Donald Trump or something. Like, that would be the worst. I would just hate for all of my friends who aren't white to think that I'm secretly a Donald Trump. That's just a horrible thought. Well, thank you for sharing that, and I hope it helps some of the listeners too who may struggle with thinking about culture and thrifted items, because there's just so many cool things that you know have a story. Like, you know that thing from Russia, or you know that thing from Poland that ended up in some little town in Texas has a story, you know? And you're just, I don't know, for me, I just get so fascinated by that. And it has some kind of appeal as something unique for me. Like, it's not something I would see all the time. I think I sent you a picture of, I went thrifting this week and I found this little white statue of it looks like a little child. It's maybe like a toddler, like 2 or 3 years old, maybe four. And I got it for 99 cents. Do you remember that little white statue? I think I posted it on Instagram.
Yes, I love it. And I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Good. I'm going to send it to you. I need you to estrella it all up and help me make it multicultural. I don't know where it's from. That's the thing I always am fascinated by. It's like, who made this? Where did this come from? All the little stories in thrift stores.
I think that inspiration comes in many forms. I have a little statuette of a colonial woman that I thought about sugar sculling her.
I think that's a really fascinating idea. And honestly, I think if you aren't Caucasian, you have free license to do those things. I think some of what maybe younger people and maybe people who are trying to be sensitive who are white are thinking about now, Estrella, is how to let you lead. And if you tell me, hey, that's an okay thing to do, go have fun and enjoy that and be respectful, then I think, well, okay, I'm not the one who's just assuming that it's okay for me to do whatever I want. So I think you should take that colonial woman and integrate her into your art. I think that's a fantastic thing to do. I bet she would also really like it.
I
Go
hope
ahead.
so. No, I don't know. I don't think about boundaries when I'm making my art. I just do what comes naturally.
That's a good point. I feel like when I was younger and I painted a lot, I didn't think about it either. In fact, I think I would think more about process, you know, like learning how to maneuver some kind of material. What is your art process like? Like, how do you start a painting project?
The piece really speaks to me. And depending what I find that goes along with it when I'm thrifting, a lot of times that determines what direction the art piece is going to go. Like the little circus piece that I did recently, I wasn't thinking of going the direction of a carnival circus theme, but everything that I found that was with that doll on that particular thrifting trip pointed to a circus carnival theme. So I just went with it. I felt like maybe some way God was telling me that this is the direction it needed to go.
I really like that. I do feel, now I'm not religious and I make that very clear. I'm comfortable with that. But I do feel like there's some kind of way that I listen to objects. I don't know that they're talking to me, but I get exactly what you're saying. Like, it feels like there's a narrative there and I'm just sort of joining it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. I love that feeling. And then I just get really lost in making that happen. And it's like, well, what kind of paint do I need for this? And what colors are going to make this story pop? And what brushes are going to work? And I don't know. It just, once I have the story, it just becomes all about the materials. Do you have materials that you prefer? Like, do you do oils? Do you do acrylics? Like, what are the things that you use to repurpose and upcycle? I like that word too. Your art objects, your found objects.
I'm not patient enough for oil paints. They take too long to dry. So it's acrylic. I use mostly acrylics. And also, I like to use a lot of beads and material, little embellishments to go with it, and a lot of E6000 or Gorilla hot glue sticks. I love those.
Oh my goodness. I didn't notice that. I think on like social media pages, it can be really hard to see the detail because I'm mostly on my phone. But that really makes me want to hop over on my computer and take a closer look at the details of the pieces. I didn't realize that some of them were the shapes and the designs were with other objects. I think I sort of flattened it in my mind as all paint. I'm going to have to go take a closer look at that.
Yeah, some pieces are just all paint, but there's others that do have embellishments.
I'm excited to look closer and see what I didn't see before. I really, yeah, I am a fan. To be honest, I'm a fan of your work. I really like it. I'm really looking forward to having this little doll sculpture of yours. It'll mean a lot to me. And I want to spread the word about your art because it's so good. There's just something about it that's whimsical. It's dark. It I don't know, it's just it's special, and I really appreciate you and your talent, and I hope that you get a bigger audience to appreciate it as well because I think it deserves it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I want to ask you some questions about thrifting. When I have a guest on, I like to ask everybody the same five questions. So are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So, how often do you think you thrift?
According to my husband, too much.
Well, he's not on here, so I'm not asking him.
Probably around 2 to 3 times a week.
Ooh, yes, you do thrift. I like it. That's that. If I could, I would do that too, for sure. Do you have a list with you, or do you just like to grab whatever?
It's a mental list, but a lot of it is spontaneous.
So you do both. You have a list and you get inspired and you spontaneously grab things.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's probably the way that I do it too. And mine's a mental list too. I cannot write it down. I don't know why. It just doesn't work as well. Let's see.
Right?
Do you believe in thrift gods?
I don't understand the question.
Well, so if you believe in a higher power, are there special higher powers that help you find really cool items at thrift stores?
I believe in God, and I think that God provides me with inspiration and the pieces that I need to create the art that I do.
If for your thrift store God, it's your primary deity, it's the same. It's the same.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes, but it's not a separate one.
Right.
Well, that's very unified of you. I like it. Do you like to go by yourself thrifting or do you like to go with friends?
I'm a hermit and I'm a loner, so I prefer to do things alone.
Yeah, I can understand that. The older I've gotten, I think the more often I prefer my own company, but I do also enjoy doing things with friends still. When you say hermit, do you mean that you like, even if it's not thrifting, you prefer your own company?
Right. I'm just alone most of the time. I'm at home alone, and even when friends try to drag me out of the house, I'm just such a homebody. I don't want to go.
So they have to come to you. I like it. You're like the queen of your kingdom. You're just like, I will see you, but you should come here. Let's hang out.
We'll have coffee here.
Yeah, I do enjoy that. I'm sort of digging your lifestyle. I think it's simplified. It's sounding pretty good. What about a real standout thrift experience? Now, this could be your best thrift experience or your worst one.
Oh my goodness. The one that stands out was a bad thrifting experience. I was at the bin at the bins, and there was a duck, and I couldn't reach this wooden duck. So I was reaching over the table trying to grab a duck when an old man grabbed that duck, and I'm still reaching for it. And everyone around me is looking at him and looking at the duck and looking at me. And everyone says, "Come on, man, give her the duck." And I was just so upset as he just sat there holding the duck, looking at it, admiring it. And I'm thinking for a minute, I'm not going to get that duck. And I wanted him so badly. I wanted this duck. And this guy, Charles, next to me says, because I know everybody by name there, Charles says, "Come on, give her that duck." And he looked at me and he looked at the duck and he finally handed over that duck. But I thought I was going to have to get into a fist fight with him over that duck.
That's a good story. That's a story after my heart. Yes, there are some mean people out there.
No, he had to have seen I was after that duck.
Yeah, and it's almost like he was taunting you. Like he wanted you to suffer a little bit, you know? Like, I'm just gonna ignore all this for a minute.
Oh, Charles wasn't going to have it though.
Is Charles your husband?
No, he's another thrifting customer. I know all the regular customers by name, and I know all the cashiers there by name.
That's so cool. Like, do you live in a small town?
Yeah, it's kind of a small town, about I think 280,000.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat because, like, sometimes I will see a few people that I've seen at other places. Some of them I try to avoid because they're a special kind of person, like the duck dude. But yeah, we're not, you know, it's not even the nice ones. I mean, it's not like we're friendly. We don't know each other's names, you know, big city problems. But that sounds really cool to me. Like, I think, okay, I would probably want to know their schedule too, just because, like, what if we like the same thing? It's like maybe I have to fight Charles for a duck.
It's
That's
funny.
neat though.
We do know what the others like, and usually when we're there at the same time, we'll separate it for each other. You know, one guy I know really loves action figures and cars. So I'll separate those as I go and hand those over to him. And he knows I like dolls. So he'll separate dolls for me. And then Maria, well, she always separates doilies for me. And she'll ask me, "Did you have breakfast this morning?"
I'm really gonna. I feel a little teary-eyed. Like, that's like a thrifting dream, I think. I have a special idea about most thrifters that we have a philosophy about life that we all kind of share, you know, like, and it sounds like that in my head. The thing you just described, that's what it sounds like. Now, that's not my reality living here in this giant city. But that's the way it is in my head. So it's kind of like you just reached into my head, pulled out my thrifting dream, and described it to me. So
It's great. I love it.
it's really cool. And I have a feeling that a lot of the listeners are going to really share that vision. I don't know if that's their experience, but listen, if any of you guys listening to the podcast have that experience or have that dream, definitely send me an email and let me know what it's like thrifting in your town, if it's a community or not, because that's really heartwarming. Like, I feel really moved. That's cool. What state do you live in?
In Texas.
Oh, right on. Okay, I live in Texas, so that makes it even better. That really it inspires me to think that there are still really good people out in the world. Neat.
Yeah, it is neat. I love Texas.
You know, I do too. It's a love-hate relationship. I love the climate. Like, I just like being hot and sweaty. It's just my preferred way to live. But I really like the laid-back kind of, I don't know, live on the land vibe that it has. And I but the hate part is, I think some of its history is really racist and horrible and backwards. So, but I guess my love for it has really won because I've been here for, oh my goodness, since I was probably about 8 years old, I've been in Texas. How long have you lived in Texas?
All of my life, I love it here. I will never leave. I love the Southern hospitality. I love all of it.
That's cool. I've thought about moving a couple times, and I have really mixed feelings. Like, it'd be cool to learn some new ways of living and how people are, but I really think I would be homesick. Like, I feel like this is my home, so I feel like I would get really homesick. And I do have some friends who have moved away to various places around the country and even the globe, and they do talk about missing Texas, and I think that would definitely be me too. I don't think I'd be like, I'm out of here. So that's cool. I'm glad you're a fellow Texan. Yay.
Yay.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking about thrifting and art. And I feel like you are going to be inspiring to a lot of the thrifters out there who I know some of them are creative as well. And I hope that you have a few things that you can plug right now. Maybe tell us your website, tell us your store where people can look at and buy your art. And how can they get a hold of you if they want to commission a piece? Like, just give us the details of that stuff.
Okay, my personal Facebook is Estrella Mari, and on Facebook I also have a page named Huesitos Dulcitos, and on Instagram, my Instagram name is Little Miss Pelionera.
Okay, and do you have a store or a website where they can go buy things, or should they just contact you through social media?
Just contact me through social media.
Okay, good, good. I thank you so much and stay thrifty.
Thank you. You too.